This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 26th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 244. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. The first half of 2022 is almost over. The most controversial Olympics in history in China gave way to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Back home in Canada, bobsled and skeleton athletes, gymnasts, and soccer players have spoken out against abuse and bad governance. Now, Hockey Canada is facing serious questions after it kept a gang rape secret. My guest, Rob Kohler of Global Athlete, looks at what's wrong with Canada's sports system and how it can be fixed. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or do we always have to curse technology? Sometimes we're reminded how it makes the world a smaller place and connects human beings. Take this story, for example. On the first day of summer, poor Coquitlam, BC's Peter Vogel had an out-of-this-world conversation. He's a retired physics and information communications technology teacher at Notre Dame Secondary in Vancouver. He's a columnist with BC Catholic and a keen watcher of space and flight and an amateur radio operator. He had an out-of-this-world experience. Peter, describe what happened this week when you were able to communicate to someone out of this world.
Thank you very much, Bob. Yes, it was literally out of this world, or above the earth, shall we say. As a ham radio operator, I've learned to operate relay signals through satellites, but actually reaching an astronaut on the International Space Station, longtime goal of mine. I had actually never heard one before, but Tuesday I heard Kjell Lindgren, American astronaut, loud and clear. As the space station passed over Metro Vancouver, I put out a call on my little ham radio, was initially missed, but on the third try, loud and clear, and we made a contact.
Victor Hotel Foxtrot, this is NA1SS, astronaut Kjell Lindgren, welcome over the International Space Station.
Thank you. God bless, 73.
VE7AFV here, Charlie November 89 Vancouver, NA1SS.
Again for NA1SS Vancouver.
VE7 Alpha Foxtrot Victor Charlie November 89 Vancouver.
VE7 AFV, this is NA1SS. Welcome aboard the International Space Station.
QSL. Well, I knew the ISS was coming up, so I had actually gone out into the backyard, actually into the back lane, where I had a little better view of that particular pass, and I attached a an antenna to my little handheld radio so that I could better beam or focus my signal. And basically I just interrupted what I was doing for 10 minutes as the station passed across. And right at mid-pass, so at maximum altitude, and this was a perfect, what we call 90 degree pass, I made contact. I put out my call sign three times. Initially, astronaut Lindgren said, come again, Vancouver. And then he heard my call sign and he said, welcome aboard the ISS. So in the ham radio field, that counts as a completed contact.
Very few of us can afford a ticket on one of Elon Musk's, Jeff Bezos's, or Richard Branson's rockets. So having your voice travel all the way from home to space might be the next best thing.
Well, that's how I felt about it, for sure. Had a lifelong fascination with space. Since my father took me outside as a child to see Echo 1, which was the first man-made object visible from space broadly across the entire world, a 30-meter reflective balloon. And so, yeah, this is part of a culmination of that. The astronauts on the ISS are all trained ham radio operators, and the ham radio operation part is part of the educational component of the ISS funding.
Now, your face has also been in space.
That was quite by chance. Again, someone saw that I post a lot about space and satellites and so forth. And this particular person was a payload specialist for the ISS. I believe he was based in Utah, and he put out a tweet saying, would anyone like their photo displayed on a laptop in the payload reception area on the ISS? So I couldn't resist that. Sent up a photo of me with a telescope, and a few hours later, he sent back a confirmation taken with a camera on the ISS, showing my face, as it were, aboard the ISS.
Where can people follow you and your endeavors, your discoveries, and your keen observations of what's above us here in the Lower Mainland, whether it is planes, rockets, satellites, or just the weather?
Probably best is my Twitter feed. It links to most other things, and I post quite a bit, as you've alluded to there. And my Twitter feed is simply my name at twitter.com. So Peter Vogel, no space. And it's been a great platform for me.
Well, thanks again to Peter Vogel for joining us on the Breaker.News podcast.
Thank you, Bob.
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The clock is counting down to the end of the first half of 2022. Canadian athletes around the world for that matter, are in a battle for sport. So far this year, athletes in Bobsleigh Canada Skeleton, Gymnastics Canada, and Soccer Canada have spoken out about abuse and bad governance. They want change. The latest, Hockey Canada's federal funding is frozen. The Minister of Sport Canada, Pascal Saint-Ange, also ordered an audit after the shocking revelation that 8 players from the 2018 World Junior Team gang-raped a woman in Ontario. She was paid $3.5 million under the secret settlement, but who were the players, and why haven't they been charged? To talk about this, I am joined by Montreal's Rob Kohler, the Director General of Global Athlete. He is the former Deputy Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency. Global Athlete is the voice for athletes demanding change, whether it's safe sport, anti-corruption, fair pay, fair funding, or human rights. I started by asking Rob Kohler for his reaction to the Hockey Canada scandal and the government's response. Rob, first of all, what is your reaction to the events this week regarding Hockey Canada?
I mean, look, we're all for the government's move for oversight and accountability. This is key, and this is what athletes have been asking for the past 4 months through other sports that you mentioned. But this government's approach appears to be a band-aid solution. And it almost like it's chasing headlines rather than exposing the national-wide toxic culture in Canadian sport. We all know that hockey makes headlines, and it appears that the government is capitalizing on these headlines to make they're taking athlete abuse seriously. And the distinction here as well is you have to remember that you had athletes that allegedly sexually abused a woman, which they need to be made accountable for. But you have the thousands of other athletes who have been abused by either coaches or physicians or trainers in other Canadian sports, and they've turned a blind eye. They've ignored the calls for an independent investigation. They've ignored their calls for independence and transparency. But yet when Hockey Canada and something happens in hockey, they take the fullest extent to bring something forward and to investigate. It's shocking and mind-boggling, to be quite honest with you, why the other sports have been cast aside. But as I said, of course, Hockey Canada needs to be made accountable.
Yeah, here in Vancouver, of course, we've had the scandal around Canadian Soccer Association. We're waiting for the continuation of the sentencing for Bob Rarda, who was an assistant coach with the national team back in 2008 for the Beijing Olympics, a coach of the under 20 national team, also coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. We wouldn't have gotten this far had there been a whistleblower, Kira McCormack, who came forward and blew the whistle on Bob Berarda's return to coaching in a community league. And that did get attention. It took a lot of other whistleblowers to come forward before the Vancouver police, and then the North Vancouver RCMP took it seriously. did the investigation, prosecuted, and got the guilty pleas. And there still is a lot more to come on that story as well. Where has Canadian sport gone wrong? How did we get here?
You know, one would say that with the introduction of Own the Podium, where medals were the most important thing to Canada and leading into the 2010 Vancouver Olympics, and Canada possibly has lost its way a little bit, where it wasn't always about winning and the top of the medals. While it's important to every athlete and every athlete we work with, it's not at all costs. And I mean, we look back at what happened in Seoul in 1988 with Ben Johnson, when he tested positive for an anabolic steroid, and immediately the government reacted. And you had one person that broke the rules, one person that was responsible for doping, and Canada opened up a national-wide inquiry through Dubin, the Dubin Inquiry, to understand the root of the problem. And that event changed the world of the sport in terms of independence of anti-doping, independence of establishment of the World Anti-Doping Agency. So Canada was seen a leader in that field. And now we have thousands of athletes coming forward with issues of sexual, physical, emotional abuse. And basically the government of Canada has stuck their head in the sand. And what's that done is sent a message to every single athlete that's come forward, every whistleblower that's come forward. It's actually silenced them even further, because if you're going to speak up and the government of Canada is not going to react similar to what they did for the Dubin inquiry, it sends a message to the athletes that their voices don't matter. And to us, there's an opportunity here for Canada to lead the way in understanding safe sport and understanding how to create a better safe sport. And you cannot do that until you learn from the past to develop the future. As I said before, it's mind-boggling to think that the government continues to ignore these calls. And that's what needs to change, is they need to understand every step of the way on where sport has let down athletes and abuse was allowed to carry on. From national sport federations to provincial sport organizations, it all needs to be exposed.
There have been calls for an independent World Sport Integrity Agency to uphold safe sport and anti-corruption. I asked my guest, Rob Kohler of Global Athlete, if he would support a sister organization to the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that needs to be established moving forward. I think a debate needs to be had whether you put all of those issues into one organization and whether that's the wise thing to do. You know, when you look at athletes that have come forward for with safe sport allegations and allegations of abuse, the system that's been developed thus far, it has a way of victimizing the victim continuously. And speaking not only in Canada, but the safe sport in the US, we've talked to victims that every time they're interviewed and brought through these processes, it's a re-victimization. It's not believing, it's asking questions that are not appropriate. So you're finding people that are not trauma-informed investigating these allegations. So I think it's a very sensitive area that needs to be dealt with properly. And as I said, before developing something internationally, we need to understand where athletes sit in these situations, what they have reported, how it's been managed, and how sport organizations have dealt with these complaints. Because there are serious problems on how it's being dealt with. And athletes generally aren't believed when they first come forward and are seen as complaints or complainers. And further to that is they're afraid to speak up because retribution is rule. They're seen as troublemakers for coming forward. It's a complex issue, but it's not that hard to deal with if you're willing to be open, transparent, and really willing to get to the bottom of the issues. You know, sport can no longer protect itself. It's so insular. There's too many people wearing the same hats, and everyone's trying to protect their jobs, and the athletes always get left behind.
It's a crucial moment. The FIFA World Cup is coming to Toronto and Vancouver in 2026, and a Vancouver bid is under exploration for the 2030 Winter Olympics. All of this, while sport governance and integrity are far from ideal in Canada. One idea, the late Andrew Jennings suggested that freedom of information, that there should be more transparency, legislated transparency, so we know how that money travels through the sports organization, who gets paid what and how much. if we knew more about that, as well as how they made decisions, then a lot of this may either be prevented or be cut off before it gets to be a problem. What do you think about that? If the federal government was to mandate that to all Canadian sport organizations and other countries around the world should do the same.
I think you're bang on. I mean, the major issue here is the lack of transparency. For some reason, sport thinks it has its own rule of law. They solve problems by committee and by establishing commissions where they're hidden, they're non-transparent, and they're not open to the public. And every other part of society, when we have, whether it's criminal cases, people can go to courts and listen and hear what's happening in terms of justice. And sport seems to have its own rule of law. And that's where I think if we saw any of these issues happening in schools in Canada, people would be fired, people would be removed from their positions, and there would be accountability. But it happens in sport. It's left behind closed doors with decisions and recommendations being produced and never really being delivered upon. So I think you've addressed a major issue is transparency, oversight. And until we get that, there's really never going to be any solution or remedy to the issues that we're seeing. Transparency builds trust. And the world of sport is afraid of that word transparency because I think they know the issues that are happening behind the scenes. They know the power imbalance athletes face, and they know where the power rests. And they're happy with that because it continues as business as usual and the money keeps coming in. But I think it's the short vision. Eventually, as we saw just in Canada, thousands of athletes have stood up calling for change. And I don't think that that movement for change is going to stop. I know they're hoping they'll die down and they'll tire out, but I'm not seeing that right now when I speak to the athletes on a daily basis.
We've seen the victory this year of the U.S. women's national soccer team of getting some pay equity. That might be one to look at there. But what would you point at as being a victory for better sport, safer sport, more integrity in sport that should be copied?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think there are any models that I would adopt globally. I mean, we talk about representation and we talk about athletes having equal say, equal part of the decision-making process. They started that in Germany with an independent athlete group with Athletes Germany, which are being part of the decisions made in all sport in Germany. And actually, they're the ones establishing the Say Sport. And that's where we would hope that Canada, I mentioned earlier, the Dublin Inquiry that changed the world of anti-doping and doping in sport. This is an opportunity for Canada to show leadership. To expose what's happening in Canada, because it's not only happening in Canada, these issues are global. And we speak to athletes globally and we know they're going on. There's sex trafficking, there's athlete abuse that are being reported and it's not being dealt with. So there's an opportunity for Canada to bring athletes on as equal partners, to allow them the opportunity to collectively bargain and to allow them to have professional representation to help fix sport, to help grow sport, and to make it stronger for the future. This is not a challenge. This is about bringing sport to a better place. And when you have buy-in and support from athletes that are equal partners, you're going to end up with sport that's going to generate more revenues. You're going to end up with a safer sport system because they're going to be part of decision-making. And you're going to see changes in grassroots sports because we've seen from the past, it's very, very easily see that young coaches and support staff, they replicate what happens in elite sport. And if we change that, we would hope that would change it from elite down to the grassroots level. So Canada has an opportunity to show leadership, not only in its own country, but globally. But for some reason, this government has, as I said, stuck their head in the sand and focused on establishing committees and commissioners, instead of dealing with the root problem.
And finally, this has also been a year of change. In 2021, federal laws legalized sports gambling, single event sports wagering. That has led to an explosion in 2022 of advertising. There's more money around there. There's a lot of questions about what this might mean for vulnerable individuals, whether it might be a gambling addiction, but also the integrity of the game. That's at the end of the day, people want to trust that athletes are being treated fairly, and also what they see when they watch sport is true sport. It is not fixed in any way. What are the ramifications of this? Can the integrity of the game be protected?
I think there's major concerns for it. Match fixing, in-game match fixing was a major concern when we looked at before gambling was legalized, in-game betting was legalized, and it was happening internationally. I mean, when you have sports that pay, you know, if you look at tennis, for example, the top 50 end up generating some revenues. But if you're 100th in the world, you're probably not making very much. So you're a very vulnerable person in that sport, recognizing that you can lose a serve or you can double fault, and it would be in-game match fixing. So the concern is that it will make athletes more vulnerable because they are not equal partners and because there isn't a large distribution of the funds that are brought in. So the rich keep getting richer, and the lower level athletes who are barely getting by are struggling to survive. So we have concerns with how the legalization of sport gambling has come in. We could have concerns that there hasn't been major oversight and integrity checks and really evaluating in-game betting. There are some sports that have done it and are doing it, but it's very limited and needs to improve because, again, we make athletes vulnerable to mafia and to the ones that are bringing revenues behind the scenes, not just sponsors that are open, but there's billions of revenues being made through mafia, through in-game betting.
Well, thanks again for joining us on the Breaker.News podcast. Rob Kohler, Director General of Global Athlete. Rob, how can people out there find out more about Global Athlete and support Global Athlete?
Yeah, our website is globalathlete.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Global Athlete HQ. And any information is there if you'd like to support us or if you have comments on anything that's going on, in addition to any athlete that wants to come forward and speak to us about issues they have. We have an open policy and we respect transparency, but also confidentiality of anyone that comes forward to us.
That was my guest, Rob Kohler of Global Athlete. What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Taiwan news, Japan prepares to import first 3 tons of democracy fish from Taiwan. China's Customs Administration announced it would ban grouper fish imports from Taiwan starting June 13th over alleged banned chemicals. Pingtung County Magistrate Pan Menan thanked Japan for sending a representative directly to visit the grouper farms in the area. He had a video chat with the chairman of Japan's largest fishery aquaculture company, Hayashi Trout Farm Inc., who is leading the charge to import Taiwanese grouper. In the Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong's iconic jumbo floating restaurant still afloat in South China Sea, company says. The clarification comes almost 4 days after widespread reports that the 46-year-old seaborne eatery had sunk in the South China Sea while being towed to Cambodia. PR firm Brunswick did not reply to emails this week. In Kyoto News, Tokyo Olympics cost total 1.42 trillion yen, twice bid figure. That's the equivalent of 13.5 Canadian billion dollars. The one-year postponement and coronavirus countermeasures caused additional costs. The expected 860 million Canadian dollars from ticket revenues vanished, with spectators banned from most stadiums. The metropolitan government essentially covered some of the venue-related costs to stop the organizers from falling into the red. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, after more than 1,000 heists, Portland serial shoplifter gets 4 years for new thefts, breaking probation. Barry T. Sanders, 60, was sentenced to 4 years and 1 month after pleading guilty to first-degree theft and violating his parole from a previous theft case. He was once nicknamed the Hamburglar by Portland police after his penchant for stealing deli cold cuts. Defense attorney Thomas Dwyer, however, noted that retailer Fred Meyer's parent company announced a $1 billion stock buyback the same month as Sanders' arrest. In the Seattle Times, more destruction of text messages emerges as Seattle pays $1.5 million to settle cannabis shops lawsuit. The lawsuit by Marigold Products accused city officials of playing favorites by reversing a licensing decision after meeting with a rival's lobbyists. Seattle settled the case in April, days after Marigold asked a judge to penalize the city for intentionally destroying evidence while violating the state's public records law and its own policies. Last year, a whistleblower revealed that ex-Mayor Jenny Durkin's office deleted 10 months of texts, including during the 2020 riots. In Czech news, it's quite shocking. Growing forest protest camp sets up in Nitinat, defying First Nations. Chiefs from the Didadat, Hwayat, and Pachidet First Nations faced off against protesters who were wearing masks and camouflage on Thursday as an illegal encampment and blockade grew in Didadat territory near Nitinat. "We ask that you clean up your mess, pack up, and leave as soon as possible," said Didadat's elected chief Brian Tate. Some protesters told Czech News that they have been given permission from indigenous elders in the community to defend their forest. That's Cascadia calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to... School is out for summer, so a special shout out to summer camp counselors, sports camp coaches, and summertime art teachers. Even those summer school teachers, the people that keep kids busy until school returns in September. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. Domi bracia, cosas That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 26th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 26th of June in 1977, Elvis Presley's last concert at Market Square Arena in Indianapolis? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.